know, worship's not about us. Worship, by definition, is we're doing something in His honor.
Yes.
Something we are doing for Him. We're worshiping Him. So let's do that. I want to also welcome our live stream audience. Glad that you are worshiping with us. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Father, that you are good. That your mercies and your compassions are new and fresh every morning. We invite your Holy Spirit. We invite your presence. Would our praises please you? Would you inhabit this place? Would you stir us and change us? Draw us unto yourself. We pray it in the precious and holy, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand if you're able as we praise.
This morning, church. I told the first service we're going to talk about everybody's favorite topic today, and that's surrender. But surrender is so very difficult to do. So I'm going to encourage us as we sing about surrender and as we worship that we ask God's Holy Spirit to lead us to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Ask God to lead you to a heart that is surrendered to him. And there's a peace and a joy that comes that passes all understanding. So this morning, let's sing, let's praise, and let's ask the Lord for his help in our life. Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. Children, y'all come on down. The rest of you, I invite you to be seated.
Good morning. I'm glad. Don't get too close to me today. I need a little room because I got a little energetic with my sermon here. That's right. I'm here like, okay, what am I going to do this week? And I thought, you know what? I think I want to try to make a circle, and then maybe I can talk about how God is eternal and that he's there in the beginning and he was there at the end. I thought, yeah, I'll go down maybe and I found these metal posts with circles on them. I thought, I can make a circle out of these. I'm thinking, yeah, circle. Do you think I got a circle going on here? No. What are you seeing?
A square.
A square? No, I see a circle.
I see a square.
You see a square? Do you think I can make a circle out of this square? No?
Yeah.
How? How would I make a circle out of this square?
Round surfaces.
I need round surfaces in order, so they kind of have to be bendy in order to make a circle. Yeah, so you think I'm kind of crazy to say that I can make this square into a circle? Yeah, I'm a little crazy. Yeah, well, you know, they say that it's kind of crazy to think that Jesus is fully human and fully God both. And they look and they see, like you see the square, they can say, yeah, he was human. He lived. He was born. He lived and he died. And they can see it, but they don't. They have trouble seeing how he's also fully God. And so I'm saying it is possible. Do you guys want to see how my square is also a circle? Yeah, just like Jesus is fully human and fully God. Ready? There it is! Wow! That's right. So just like a moment ago, you were like, "That there's no way Miss Teresa can make that square into a circle." But if you twist your thoughts a little bit more and God gives you the ability to see it, you can see how Jesus is both fully human and fully God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for wisdom that comes beyond our understanding. Thank you for Jesus, who was definitely most wonderfully fully human and fully God. We thank you for these blessings, Lord. In your holy name, amen. 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 Amen.
Good morning, church. Morning. I told the early service crowd that's a hard act to follow, but I do have a juggling thing I would like to do for you right now. Not really. Man, great to see everybody this morning. Once again, welcome you who are worshiping with us online. If you would register your attendance through our app, that would be incredibly helpful for us. Our Sunday night community groups start tonight at 6 p.m. The Masons group will meet in room 210. And then the Dukes group, the young adult group, will meet in room 204. All that's on the second floor, so that's tonight at 6 p.m. On the 29th of this month, we have a discovery class at 9 a.m. If you're new to our church and would like to know more about our ministries, our theological stances on things, you can meet with our pastor that morning at 9 a.m. To learn about Wiley Methodist Church. Also at 5 p.m. that day, there's an insert in your bulletin that describes a organizational meeting for two Panama mission trips that are going to take place this year. So that's the 29th, also 5 p.m. in the sanctuary. And then the men's summit is February 17th and 18th. And I believe Mike Matthews, would you like to speak to that, please, sir?
Hello, church. Hello, saints. Mike Matthews. Yeah, this is the second time I've had a chance to come up to speak to the assembly. The first time, Billy, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you told the whole assembly that you've got a stopwatch and I'm on a timer. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay, very good. So I want to talk about the Men's Summit, which is on our calendar, and it is the weekend following Valentine's Day. So, men, this could be a fantastic Valentine's present for your wives or your sweethearts. And wives and sweethearts, this could be a great opportunity to encourage them to give them you that Valentine's present. So what's the Men's Summit? I had the opportunity to go last year, and it is 24 hours. And thank you, Cody, for the first song, because I'm asking every man here in this room, are you willing to sacrifice 24 hours? Thank you for that, Cody. I mean, that's what we're talking about, 24 hours. You don't have to worry about getting supper before you go. We'll have supper that night. And it is hotel accommodations, even though it's at a camp that does have bunks. There's really no reason. Bring your Bible and enjoy the time. We have transportation, I believe. Is that right? I did mention I went last year, and I have a passion for this now. This is a group of men that is not just from this church. It's Mount Zion, it's Wiley Baptist, and it's a fire that we want to build into a flame for our whole community, for this community in Taylor County and the surrounding communities. And this is our chance to do that. What I really loved about it was I got to worship. I got to hear some fantastic talks from some people that really love the Lord. And I got to bond with a group of men. And again, I got to do that in a tiny part of my year, a 24 hours. So I'm just asking every one of you, if you would please consider not only signing up, here's God's invitation. Billy put one in right in our bulletin here. And you got plenty more information on the app. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Do you well. Thank you. So, man, this is a great opportunity to fellowship with men not from just our church, but several other churches. You can sign up through the insert. You can do that through the app or on our website as well. If you are able to stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I'm going to pray through the prayer requests listed in the bulletin for those that were acknowledged or we had knowledge of this week. Those are on the left, on the back side of your bulletin, back page of your bulletin, on the left side. Prayer requests or the prayer requests that were given to us this week. The ongoing is for people who are in major need of the Lord to move in their life. So I invite you to join me as we pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us, for your love for your humanity, your love for your people. And Lord, these names, Father, represent different situations, and Lord, every one of them need a movement of you or a movement by you in their life, and in several of these they need an absolute miracle. So Lord, we're going to lift them up to you. I pray for Stephanie Bates. Lord, I pray, God, with her terminal cancer diagnosis, God, I pray that you move in power and bring healing into her body. Lord, we lift up Evelyn Mitchell. God, I just pray that as she recovers, Lord, from some issues, Lord, that you give her strength while she is in therapy, Lord. I just pray, God, for her to meet all of her benchmarks, Lord. And I just pray that you strengthen her body, God. We pray for Austin Tice. And Lord, I don't know if he's with you or if he's still alive in the Middle East somewhere. God, I pray that you protect him if he is. If he's with you, would you give this family closure by supernaturally communicating that somehow. Lord, I pray for Timmy Casey, God, as his double lung transplant continues to heal. Lord, bless him. We lift up Wiley Wise to you. God, what a godly man, what a good man he is. And Lord, he's just struggling and he needs encouragement. So Lord, would you touch him? Father, we pray for Amanda Sellers, who has breast cancer. God, would you heal her body, bring peace into her heart. And Lord, I just thank you for protecting the Summers family while Michael's been on deployment. We pray for his safe return. And Lord, just continue to bless them. We pray for John Callahan. Lord God, his tongue cancer. Lord, I just thank you that he's successfully completed his treatments. Lord, I pray you supernaturally touch his body and bring healing there. And Lord, we lift up our sister Susie Shahan to you. And Lord, she needs a miracle in her life. So, Lord, would you give wisdom where wisdom's needed? Would you bring healing to her and comfort for the family? Lord, for Hayden and Cody and Larry Snodgrass, Carl Mears, Luann Barrow, Ken Keefe, and Sarah Gwynn. Lord, just provide what they need and glorify yourself through the process. Lord, I thank you for opportunities to pray, and I think about where your word says to pray without ceasing. And Lord, I know that's not my typical routine, praying without ceasing. I pray that you stir my heart that direction. God, you're not going to give us a directive to do something and not make provision for us to do that. Lord, you don't set us up for failure. And so, Lord, I pray you stir our hearts in regard to prayer. God, take us deeper. Increase our faith, Lord. God, use us to accomplish your purposes on the earth. And Lord, bless those that we have prayed for. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to pray, and we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, instructed your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors, by the exit doors. Also, you can give electronically. God bless you, churches. Thank you so much for your faithfulness.
You gave your life for mine. You nailed to the cross and you crucified all my sin and shame. It was washed by your mercy. You are the treasure I find. You're my reason for living. So let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. Lord Most High, all praise to the one who saved my life, all praise to Jesus Christ, the High King of heaven, my King forever. Gates of my heart, the veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave, 'cause you bring things to life. You roll stones away. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, the High King of heaven, my King forever. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, the High King. Dedicate ourselves. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for you. Well, I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole for you. Will I lift my
Fill the atmosphere.
Good morning again, church. It's good to have somebody's rambunctious over there. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you are our guests, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ and the love of His people, the presence of His Holy Spirit with us. So really, we welcome you to our church. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration, has a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out. And at the end of the service, I'll be down at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you, get to know you a little bit. So glad you're here. You guys ready to hear the word? All right, let's do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is the Apostle Paul's. This is probably going to be a passage most of you are somewhat familiar with. Beginning in verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Isn't that a strange thought? Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. I was telling the early service, don't you love Paul? It's like, I got lots of stuff to boast about, but I'm not going to do it. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't know what that thorn is. I think it was some sort of an analogy for something going on in Paul's life. Could have been some sort of an addiction or struggle in his life. Three times, he says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Anybody ever pleaded with the Lord? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. In insults, how many of you delighted in weaknesses and insults this week? In hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. You're invited. We want to hear from you. So would you speak to us, Holy Spirit, in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may have heard this story, but I was reminded of this story that this man, he was out in the wilderness. He was walking through, and there's cliffs, and there's this steep cliff to his side, and he falls off the side of the cliff, and there's a shrub or something he grabs a hold of, and he's clinging to this shrub that's holding him up. And if he lets go of that, or if that breaks, he falls to his death. And he begins to yell, help, is anybody up there? Is anybody up there? Silence for a while, and he keeps yelling that. And finally a voice says, yes, this is the Lord. I'm here. You can let go. I will catch you. Long pause, and the man's holding on to the weed. Is anybody else up there? Don't we do that when the Lord offers, when he calls us to surrender, that He's got it, and we cling to the things of this world. So Today's message, I'm continuing the sermon series I started last week, Authentic Christianity. And I want to say it, I'm going to say this every week with when we launch into this message, that this is not about critiquing others. This is about examining ourselves. That's important for us to hear that. It's not meant to be judgment on other people. So authentic Christianity, what does an authentic Christian look like? Last week, we talked about how an authentic Christian remembers. So this week, a Christian surrenders. A Christian surrenders. So I'm just going to dive right in and kind of unpack some of this. First of all, an authentic Christian realizes that God knows best. And that sounds like a simple thing, but let's be honest. We really, most of the time, we think we know best, don't we? God knows best. Young kids, when they're young and begin to interact, one of the first things they learn is this word, mine. It's so interesting. Two of my little grandkids are little cousins, and they love each other. Man, I'm telling you, they love each other. But when they're playing and they both kind of identify the same toy, it's every man for themselves. We start hearing that word mine. They take possession of that little toy, whatever it is. I was watching a video this past week. This mom was trying to teach her little two-year-old how to share, and so she had his favorite treat, and she gave him this treat, and he unwrapped it, and he starts eating. She says, "That's the last one." And he says, "Well, Mommy doesn't have one." She said, "No, that's the last one. Mommy doesn't have one." And he says, "Well, I'll go get you one." So he gets up, and she says, no, there's no more treats. That's it. And he's looking at it, and you can see the gears are turning. And finally, long story short, he comes to that place where he says, "Mommy, I'll share." But we need to understand that God knows best, and there's two ways that we can pursue. We can pursue our way, or we can pursue God's way. And so I guess the question is, which one are we pursuing? Which one are we pursuing, church? Proverbs, this actually is two places in Proverbs. This particular quote is from Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." There's our way and God's way. You know, I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in ministry that When there's a decision to be made or an action that we're getting ready to partake, there's two things generally. We can either ask God what He wants us to do, what He thinks about this, and so then we have that choice of either respond to it, to His way, or to ignore it. But there's another way. It's like, I've done this. Anybody done this where it's like, I want to do that, so I'm not going to ask God about that. Am I the only heathen in the room? I've done it. It's stuff, you know, stuff like maybe spending some money that I knew I shouldn't spend, you know, like buying something. It's like, I don't want to ask God about that because He's probably going to say no on that one. So I'm just going to do it. You know, when we choose our way over God's way, it never turns out good. It never turns out good. Matthew, Jesus is asked how we should pray, and we just recited it just a few minutes ago. He said, "This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So he immediately, at the very front of how we should pray, is number one, exalt our Heavenly Father. And then seek His ways, seek His will. I mean, Jesus put that out front. And I guess, that's part of faith, is understanding that God, I've said this before, but God is not the great party pooper in the sky. He doesn't tell us things. He doesn't give us guidance in His Word to spoil our good time. He gives us His Word, and He gives us His path, and He gives us His will because He knows what's best, and He wants good things for us. And so if we don't trust that, then that's when we find ourselves going our own way. We must realize that God knows best, and He wants good things for us. Secondly, an authentic Christian surrenders their desires to God's. You know, so knowing that God knows best, but then we have that decision to make, do I trust Him enough to follow Him? I'm always drawn to this moment where Jesus was in the garden. So to set that up, you know, Jesus is telling His disciples that we're going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be falsely accused. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be put to death. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the grave. He's telling them what's happening. And I love this. I've said this so many times. But then it says that Jesus was leading the way into Jerusalem. Then, so He knows what's going to happen, and yet He knows that He must do this. So He's leading into Jerusalem. They have their Last Supper, and He goes to the garden with some of His disciples, and He's basically waiting for the soldiers to come and take Him, and He goes to pray. And so, again, that frame of mind that Jesus knows what's happening. He's been foretelling that. Old Testament Scripture foretold that. And it says in Luke 22, Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt beyond the disciples. He knelt down and prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me. So my paraphrase is, I think Jesus is saying, isn't there another way? I mean, I don't want to do this. I recognize this is not going to be pleasant. I don't want to do it. He says, take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. We understand that God knows best, and we are called as authentic Christians to surrender to His will, just like Jesus. What that passage goes on and says, after he prayed that prayer, it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I love this because we know today, I am not a physician, but I have stayed in Holiday Inn Express before, so I'm qualified to tell you all this. There's a condition, and I will mispronounce it. I did, I think, in the early service too. Hematidrosis is a medical condition that they were not aware of. Luke was not aware of when he penned these words in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was pinning the words that what had happened. This hematidrosis, it's a medical condition. Under great emotional stress, tiny capillaries in the sweat glands rupture, and blood and water, blood and sweat mix together. And so you literally bleed out of your sweat glands. It's only under extreme duress. You think Luke knew about hematidrosis? Do you think Jesus was under great distress for this condition to exist for Him? And yet, He surrendered to the Heavenly Father's will. That's the example set before us, church. And while there was that, the next day was not pleasant for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you and I have been promised eternal life because of it. Man, we don't understand sometimes what's going on. I'm kind of digressing, but I really feel like I'm supposed to share this. I got a call, actually a text from Brent, one of our youth's fathers. He was Thursday, was supposed to pick his son up from school. And he goes, he wasn't there, so he called his brother and went and checked on him. And long story short, his His father was unresponsive, laying on the couch, and ultimately passed away. Very suddenly, unexpectedly, mother was out of the country. I mean, just, and as I went and visited with that family yesterday, we will do the service here Tuesday, but as I went and visited with that family, you know, one of the things I said, I don't understand. We don't understand. But in the midst of it, we trust. We trust the Lord because He loves us and He knows best. I don't know why that happened. But I know that it's safe to surrender to God's will. It's safe to trust Him. Thirdly, an authentic Christian rejects cheap grace and embraces costly grace. I'll tell you, I've spoke of him before, but if you haven't, just you can Google Dietrich Bonhoeffer and just read his story. He's such an incredible man. He was a pastor and an author and a theologian in Germany during World War II. And he wrote some things. What he was seeing in the church, he was seeing that this idea of cheap grace, in other words, that all we're preaching is God's love with nothing else, there are no other requirements, none of this lay down our cross and follow Him. There was, that piece was missing. It was just like, you know, morality and love was the message coming out of the church, cheap grace. And he saw it and he began to write about it. And then he started seeing what Hitler and the Nazis were doing to Germany. And he and his family escaped the country and they were safe. And then he returned. Why would he do that? He said, I'm returning because if I don't go back and go through this with my church and with people, I'll have no right to speak into their lives through the healing later. So he left his family in safety and he went back to Germany, and long story short, he was executed by the Nazis, lost his life. But here's what some of what he has written. And man, if this doesn't apply to our church and our culture today, I don't know. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Have we seen that in the news lately? Baptism without discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. What has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Don't you love that? It is grace because God did not reckon his son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. And we to surrender to the Lord to understand grace and who God is, and that he wants us to embrace costly grace. Understand that grace costs the life of our Lord and Savior. You know, it's ironic. I kind of used this as illustration before, but it's ironic. We did a Panama mission trip, medical mission trip last year, and we're going to do two more mission trips to Panama this coming year or this year. And I guess they still do this. I've read this that the Panamanians, one of the items, you know how we have chicken and beef and stuff on our menu, fish and so forth. They have monkeys as part of on their menu, just wild monkeys. And they have a very ingenious way. This is, I'll clean this up so nobody, the small children can stay in the room. They have an ingenious way to catch these monkeys. They take a gourd and they hollow the gourd out and they cut a very precisely sized hole. They secure it to the ground and they put fruit and nuts and so forth in the gourd, and then they get a club and they get back in the bushes and wait. All the women are going, are you kidding me? And the monkeys smell the food and they come and they put their hand into that just barely get it into that hole in the gourd, and they grab a handful of food, and now they're stuck. What they're holding on to has stuck them. And so they begin to wiggle and squirm, and they begin to squeal, and the Panamanians come out, and it's supper time. And all they have to do is surrender what they're holding on to and let it go. So the difference between life and death is surrender. Church, authentic Christians, we are called to surrender because this God loves us. He knows best. He wants good things for us. And even when it doesn't make sense, even when we don't understand what's going on, we can trust Him. If you'll just bow your head with me. Father, thank You that Your grace is sufficient for us. That Your power, we don't understand it, God, but Your power is made perfect in our weakness. You flip the script. Instead of saying to us, you need to try harder, you say to us, let go. I love You. I'll save you. I've got You in the palm of my hand. My grace is sufficient. I've purchased You at a price. Father, there could be people right now in this room and perhaps on our live stream that need to let go. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's guilt or shame. Maybe it's anger, unforgiveness. They need to let go and let You. Father, would You give us courage to release and to surrender to You. Not our will, but Yours be done, Father. We pray it in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. As we close, the altar rail is open. There will be people to pray for you at the end of the service. I will be out in the foyer and would love to greet our guests or any of you. Rise if you are able as we close.
My riches.
Lord says to us, His grace is sufficient for you. Did you know that, church? His power is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is going to sound strange, but go and be weak. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.